Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. We are getting a company update from Skeena Resources and the president and CEO, Walter Coles. Skeena is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol SKE and on the OTCQX under the symbol SKREF. Walter, why I wanted to highlight this Skeena resource or the Skeena drill result was because of the fantastic headline numbers that we saw. This release came out September 11th, which said Skeena intersects 43.39 grams per ton gold equivalent over just over 27 meters at Eskay Creek. You and I haven't talked too much about Eskay Creek, so that's what we're going to focus on in this segment. First, just take us through this drill result. I know that it is a lot of this infill drilling and you're testing some of these historic drill results, but this is a great result. Please take us through what it means for the project moving forward.
I guess I'd start by saying it shouldn't be a surprise, the drill results that we put out, because we were drilling in an area that has already been drilled historically. We need fresh core for metallurgy, and that's why we're drilling in that area. Well, that's the first reason. Second reason is the drill density in certain areas is not sufficient to support an indicated or measured resource. So it would be inferred, and it needed some infill drilling. If you had looked at our corporate presentation over the last couple months, we've included cross-sections that have historical drill intercepts that are of the same tenor of what we just put out, and that's why, again, I say this shouldn't really be a surprise. I would call it more of it's a reminder, intercept, a reminder to what an incredibly high-grade mine SK was. When it was operating, it was the highest-grade gold-silver mine in Canada at the time. So it's a phenomenal asset that still has significant areas of mineralization left, and I think that's what that headline should be reminding people.
So I went through some of these cross sections, and you are right. There was high grade discovered over some very nice widths throughout this project, but some of these areas that you did also drill, and I understand that 21A and 21C, both of these zones did have some prior drilling in it. These grades match some of these historic drill intercepts. What does that mean in terms of what was left behind after all the mining was completed?
Well, you got to remember that over the life of this mine, the cutoff grade on the direct ship ore was 30 grams per ton. And the cutoff grade on the milling, the ore that was sent to the mill, ranged between 12 and 15 grams per ton. So, the obvious deduction is that, my gosh, there's probably material amounts of gold and silver left that, you would expect might have a grade of, maybe 8 grams or 9 grams per ton. That's why we went after this asset, was what wasn't economic then, we think at today's gold and silver prices, plus the improvements in infrastructure in that area, could be very economic in terms of what's left there now. And that's what we're out to prove. We'll have a resource out here imminently that, will quantify, what the amount of gold and silver that's left, and also the grades of that remnant mineralization. And let me add that, look, gold exploration is extremely risky, right? It's like, how much money is spent drilling holes that don't hit anything? Like, to me, it's all about risk mitigation. And that's why I like the strategy that we have, which is go after things that we have very good odds that they're there, and very good odds, we think, that they'll be economic. And then we layer on top of that the sort of blue sky upside exploration.
Well, I personally like the strategy as well of going after something that was producing at such high grade, because there is always some material left behind. But when you hear about those cutoff grades that you outlined to us, that means that there's the potential for much higher grade stuff to be left behind because they had such high cutoff grades. Now, one thing that I do want to touch on more specifically about this news release is you broke down this 21A, 21B zone. There is also this 21C zone. It was a bit technical, this news release. So can you simplify some of the similarities, some of the differences that you're seeing in these zones, please?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to put it in layman's terms, the areas that we're really interested in are the 21A, because the remnant mineralization there, we believe, would be have open pit potential. Same thing for the 22 zone. There's not very much drilling there, but the drilling, you know, did hit interesting mineralization. It wasn't above the historic cutoffs, but in today's world, it would be very attractive. So those 21A and 22 are areas that we see as having grade and size to be good potential for an open pit mine with, let's say, a strip ratio of probably like 3 to 1. And then the 21C, you know, there we think there's significant mineralization left with good continuity. The difference is the 21C is in the rhyolite, and the 21A and the 22 is in the mudstone. So, you know, I won't go into all the details of the implications from a geology standpoint, but those are probably our three primary areas of focus right now.
Okay. So in terms of the resource that is coming out very shortly, it's based pretty much all on this historic drilling that you had available to you. What zones is this going to be coming from?
It's everything. So it's based on the 700,000 plus meters of drilling that were done during the periods of exploration and mining at Eskay Creek. So this is a all-encompassing resource estimate that we will be putting out. The way we prioritize things is we're starting with the precious metals content. So the resource that we put out will be focused on the gold and silver. And then a step two will be to look at the base metal potential in the property. The areas that we've identified for this resource are, they do have some base metal content, but it's not huge. But there are other pods of, let's call it just base metal rich deposits that exist on the property. And we will be trying to quantify that as a step two. So, you know, just to summarize, step one, identify how much gold and silver is left and what's the grade. Step two, identify how much base metal content is there based on the historical drilling. Step three is undertake metallurgy, which we'll be doing over the winter. Step four is then take that metallurgy and apply economics to this mineralization that we see that's left, and you know, possibly put out a PEA. And then step five is, what can we do to enhance the overall package? You know, what can we do by way of exploration? We think there's tremendous exploration potential on this property, and so we want to come and do you know, cover off the blue sky potential here with more exploration.
This is clearly an interesting and unique situation where you're at, where I know people are looking at this project and asking, well, just how much was mined from Eskay Creek in the past? And now, just by pulling out some of these drill holes, you are, I think, proving that there are still a lot of, well, some at least, resources still available. In terms of maybe how you want to leave the investor after we are also going to see the resource, what do you have to say to those maybe skeptics that say a lot of this was already maybe mined out?
Well, I just say it's not. Like, I'm definitively telling you, there's lots of mineralization left. And, you know, after we get our resource statement out, I would encourage all the investors to do a little comparison. Like, look at the amount of ounces, you know, Skeena will have, not including what we'll put out on SNP next year at some point. Look at the, I would suggest that investors should get out a, you know, a pen and paper, write down our resource quantities and include the GJ Spectrum project in that, and then do a comparison with our market cap versus other, you know, peers that we have in the, you know, in Western Canada, and, you know, do a comparison, see which companies do they think are undervalued and which companies are overvalued. And I would argue that Skeena today is massively undervalued. And I'm saying pro forma for a resource that we haven't put out yet, but it's coming. And, you know, that's my suggestion to everybody, is do the math.
Hey, I'm excited to see this resource, and it's something you and I have been talking about. You've continued to drill some nice holes over at Snip, and now Eskay Creek is going to at least be the focus, at least for a little bit, when this resource comes out. You guys have been busy. You're going to continue to be busy. I'm encouraged to see these results, and now I think everybody will be able to get a good understanding of what still is around when that resource does come out. So, hey, Walter, I do appreciate that update. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Walter and his team, please email me at fleck@kereport.com. In the meantime, when we see that resource, we will be following up. Walter, have a great rest of your week, and I do appreciate everybody tuning in to the weekend edition. I hope you all have a great weekend, and I will be back with everybody next week, as it has gotten a lot busier ever since Labor Day finally ended our slow summer. Thanks again for your time, Walter.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.